Good morning. This is Wyoming Debrief from Wyoming Public Radio News. It's Monday, January 26th. I'm Charles Pelkey with these news updates from around Wyoming. And before we get started, a quick note about a story from Friday. Brucellosis was found in a herd in Sublette County. We said it was cattle, but on closer examination of the press release, we actually don't know what type of stock. The state veterinarian says she could not offer more details due to confidentiality statutes. Governor Mark Gordon is shelving a state agency's planned lawsuit against a law meant to help with property taxes. The law eased increases in taxes by exempting sudden jumps in a property's assessed value from taxation. A state board that takes up tax disputes was planning to file a lawsuit against another state agency, the Department of Revenue, to block the law. But there's disagreement about how the law fits within the state constitution, according to Wildfile reporting. But Gordon stopped the suit for now, saying it would have confused taxpayers and county assessors. Western states are struggling to agree on how to conserve water from the dwindling Colorado River. Mandatory cuts are on the table, but some states like Wyoming want those to be voluntary. Wyoming Public Radio's Hannah Mertzbach reports on a proposed pilot program.
As drought persists, lower basin states Arizona, California, and Nevada have pushed for mandatory water cuts in dry years for upper basin states like Wyoming. But state engineer Brandon Gephardt says that's not necessary.
We disagree with any contention that we need to do mandatory reductions, but we don't disagree that hydrology is declining and has been in decline for 25 years.
So state lawmakers are considering a voluntary conservation pilot, open to ranchers and others in the Green River Basin, the largest Colorado tributary. The state wouldn't pay users for saving water, but officials hope federal dollars currently on hold will come through. Another upper basin state, Utah, has a similar program, but it's paying people with state funds. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Hannah Mersbach.
Wyoming has renewed an agreement with the federal government to work together to manage national forests within the state's borders. Wyoming has had a similar agreement with the U.S. Forest Service since 2020. Projects have focused on timber sales in the Bighorn National Forest and wildfire mitigation in the Medicine Bow. The agreement says the state and federal government will continue to work together on timber sales and reducing hazardous fuels, as well as energy, recreation, grazing, and wildlife issues. That includes implementing sage-grouse and bighorn sheep policies. The agreement will last for 10 years. Last year, Montana signed a similar agreement that will last for 20. Governor Mark Gordon said in a statement, quote, "This is about more than trees. It's about managing entire landscapes." Jackson-born skier Breezy Johnson will compete in the upcoming Winter Olympics in Italy. Wyoming Public Radio's Hannah Haberman reports.
Breezy Johnson is no stranger to the Winter Games. She made her debut in 2018 in South Korea when she was 22. But her Beijing dreams were cut short by a knee injury a month before the competition. Now, she'll represent Team USA in the upcoming Winter Games in Cortina. She's currently the reigning downhill world champion. She shared her Olympic news in an Instagram post, writing, quote, "They say the third time is the charm, right?" And added, "4 years ago, this dream ended. Now I have the opportunity to bring it full circle." Wyoming athletes Jalen Coff and Anna Gibson will also compete in the 2026 Olympics. The games kick off on February 6th. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Hannah Haberman.
A new order from the Trump administration says federal lands should be open to hunting and fishing unless there's a legal exception. The Mountain West News Bureau's Rachel Cohen has more.
The Interior Department's secretarial order directs land managers to find places with unnecessary barriers to hunting and fishing, expand access where possible, and increase coordination with states and tribes. It also says proposals to limit these recreational opportunities should be reviewed by higher-ups. Madeline West with the Theodore Roosevelt Conservation Partnership supports the move. She says it's unclear how many acres will be opened as a result.
But pretty safe to assume that there will be areas that become available for hunting and fishing that aren't currently by just putting the onus on justifying why these actions shouldn't occur and where they're not consistent.
West notes the order itself doesn't change any laws or regulations about where hunting and fishing are allowed. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Rachel Cohen.
The Center for the Arts in Jackson is putting out a call to artists across the country for an outdoor art installation to go on its lawn. The creation needs to be able to withstand mountain weather and heavy snow, and it will be unveiled as part of the nonprofit's 20th anniversary celebration next year. It will likely be on display through 2030. Submissions are due by March 1st. Check out the Jackson Hole Public Art website for more information. And now let's hear from Ivy Engel for a look at what happened this week in Wyoming history.
This is Around Wyoming. Here are some stories from history from around the state. According to the Wyoming Historical Society, on January 25, 1967, jade was adopted as the state gemstone. On January 27, 1957, Wyoming began making reflective license plates to increase nighttime safety. On January 28, 1920, during a special session, the Wyoming legislature ratified the 19th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, granting women the right to vote in a unanimous vote. On January 30, 1951, the Wyoming Cowboys defeated the Washington and Lee Generals in the Gator Bowl 20-7. On January 30, 1958, it was reported that among the first Cowboys voted into the National Hall of Fame were John B. Kendrick and Francis E. Warren. On January 31, 1917, the Indian paintbrush was adopted as the state flower. And according to the University of Wyoming American Heritage Center, January 25, 1902 was, quote, another day of excitement in the chemical laboratory, unquote, when a vessel of oil from the Newcastle fields burst and later when a bottle of gasoline ignited, transferring flames to the woodwork, ceiling, and curtains. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Ivy Engel.
And here's today's Wyoming trivia question. Who is the only Laramie resident to serve in the U.S. Senate? Send us your answer to wyomingpublicradio@gmail.com or by message on Instagram or Facebook, and we'll give a shout out to the first person with the right answer. As for Friday's trivia question, who was the first woman to serve in the Wyoming State Legislature? That was Mary Bellamy, who represented Laramie in the House from 1911 to 1913 and again from 1919 to 1921. Congratulations to Casey Andrews, who was the first to submit the correct answer. Well, that's it for today. Thank you for joining me, Charles Pelkey, on Wyoming Debrief this morning. Enjoy the day and join me again tomorrow. Thank you.